Your next job could be in the palm of your hand with the Stage Jobs and Auditions app for the iPhone. Whether you're a theatre professional looking for a full-time career, an actor looking for your next role, or maybe you're just looking for work to tide you over during that awkward resting period, you can find what you want fast and for free with the Stage Jobs and Auditions app. Just search for Stage Jobs in the App Store or go to app.thestage.co.uk.
The Stage, a fresh look at entertainment.
Podcasting live from Scotland's capital city, the Edinburgh Fringe Podcast with Ewan Spence. Brought to you by The Stage and the Podcast Network. It's that time again when we join his guests and catch up with the latest news. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Ewan.
To the last I will grapple with thee. From hell's heart I stab at thee. For head's sake I make sure I have my last ticket at thee to go and see the last dying breath of the Fringe. Is Moby Dick on this year? I don't know. Anyway, yes, hello, Ewan Spence here. It's almost the end of the Fringe here with the Stage and the Podcast Network, bringing you the best of the arts festival that's taken up pretty much all of August here in Scotland's capital city. It has been great to have your company all of this time. There's two shows here in the podcast still to go. A majority of shows are still running tonight. Some acts have finished, so you're not going to be able to see some of them. You might have missed them and have to wait till next year. But there's still a bundle of stories. There's still a load of news to catch up on. There are still fun games and excitement to be had from Edinburgh. Let's go straight on with the news right now. Remember the Comedy Awards? PerryAsif.com Foster-sponsored awards announced on Saturday. The thing that wasn't announced on Saturday was the Comedy God, organised by the same people. This was to find the best comedy god of the last 30 years from everyone who's ever been nominated for one of the Edinburgh Comedy Awards. This, of course, would give new sponsors Foster's a little bit of a leg up and the appearance of historical backing, because that's what you do in advertising. It wasn't announced because of the fun and games that Stuart Lee has had with Frank Chicken. You remember he won the Malcolm Hardy Award for promotion of Frank Chicken, even though they weren't performing this year. Well, it turns out, guess what? Frank Chicken won! But the competition has been hastily relabeled as the Foster's Funny Four. So also winning that are Michael McIntyre off the telly, Tim Minchin off the telly, and Russell Howard off the telly. And all four of the acts will now be used by Foster's to promote Foster's and comedy in the UK. I wonder if it'll be a perfect 25% equal split. It is, of course, time at the end of the Fringe to look back and see where the problems are, you know, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats. And I don't just mean in the opening of Edward Axel's act this year. But there are some murmurings of the vortex of the south side of Edinburgh. Gilded Balloon, Underbelly, Pleasance, Zoo, Roxy, Southside, all of that sort of creating this little hub around the Edinburgh University campus means that other venues such as the Assembly Halls, the Assembly Rooms in George Street, the Stand, the Newtown Theatre are seeing less and less traffic. You know, Edinburgh becomes more and more concentrated, even though there's now over 200 venues. Something to keep an eye on, because there are no worries that the Fringe is over capacity in terms of how many people are going to come up and buy tickets. You know, the growth is plateauing. Numbers which I'm sure statisticians will be looking at over the next months to work out what's going on. But certainly, there are reports of audiences having a huge drop-off in week three, partly because it's the end of the school holidays in Scotland, which means that certainly the Edinburgh residents, they don't care about the Fringe anymore. They're certainly not the kids' shows, because they've got kids to school, back to work, all of that stuff. Obviously, these are things that can be addressed over the next couple of months, but it's good that people are aware of them, and be interesting to see what solutions come up with over the next 6 to 9 months before next year gets underway. Missed this one in all the mix last week. The Holden Street Theatre Awards, awarded by the Holden Street Theatre based out of Adelaide in Australia, invites productions over to perform at the Adelaide Fringe with the winners, and they have the choice here. They've taken two, Roadkill on at the Traverse Theatre, and Bound at Zoo Southside, both picking up a Holden Street Theatre Award, and they will be appearing in Adelaide. Now, the big awards, of course, are the Stage Awards for Acting Excellence, and if you want to find out what happened to them, stay tuned. We'll be having a live report and audio footage, as it were, coming from the awards ceremony that was held late last night at the Ward Theatre and Acting at the Fringe. One final recommendation from the iFringe application, the guys over at Fringe Guru. We'll have their overall pick of the Fringe coming up tomorrow as well. Shadow Boxing is on at Sea Soko tonight at 8:55 p.m. It's about a young boxing champion struggling to cope with life in and out of the ring. Challenging stereotypes of masculinity and attitudes to homosexuality, this has picked up 5 stars from Broadway Baby. Johnny Collis-Skirl gives one of the most intense and hypnotic solo performances of this year's Fringe. 5 stars also from 3 weeks. The sheer courage that emanates from the stage captivates the audience. 8:55 p.m. Last chance to see it. See Soko tonight. That's Shadow Boxing. And iFringe also downloads all its information offline and pulls in all the reviews from the main Festival Media Network website. So if you download the iFringe application now and update it, all the reviews will sit on your iPhone, so you can find your plane in a tunnel and take your time to look through all the shows that you never had a chance to see this year, and all the reviews collated in one place. An invaluable reference if you want to relive the Fringe in those moments through September and October when you go a little bit colder. Let's pull that down out of there and see who we have lined up for today's show. Well, as already mentioned, later on we'll be having coverage of the Stage Awards from Acting Excellence. Right at the end of the show, we'll also be having a very, very brief moment and some music from New York pop pianist starlet Rachel Sage. We'll also be speaking to Peter Buckley-Hill, the man behind PBH's Free Fringe, on the challenges and opportunities that the Free Fringe continues to offer performers and performers spaces and the Fringe as a whole over the last couple of years, and certainly its explosive growth this year to be almost 10% of the programme. But before all that, we have Manish from Frisky and Manish, and this is an interesting one about the Fringe. I always love, you know, people come up here and they assume they're going to be perfectly hit and filthy. They assume that they're going to be able to even get their lines right for the entire Fringe run. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Frisky and Manish, of course, the darlings of last year's Fringe, doing a critically acclaimed show this year as well in their second solo album. But they've not been well at all throughout the Fringe. What's it like when it all goes wrong and the show still has to go on? Let's find out. Let's dispel a few Fringe myths. Number one, preview shows are previews and the show can change. Agreed?
Absolutely agreed.
Agreed. Number two, you don't have to be of 100% fitness levels for the run of the Fringe to do a really good show. Agreed?
I hope agreed, yes.
And the difficult second album called The College Years isn't the second time you've been at the Fringe.
It's not, no.
So, joining me now, you can guess. No, you can't. It's Matthew Jones. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, hi.
Matthew, of course, is half of...
Frisky and Manish.
And Frisky is...
Laura Corcoran.
I was going to say, not here.
She's absent, Laura Corcoran. Yeah, she is.
So, let's take those points backwards. No, let's take the point in the middle.
Okay.
Because you guys have come up here. You're doing your second run of Frisky and Manish, which we'll talk about in a second. But half of the time, you've been ill.
Yes.
And the other half of the time, Laura's been ill.
Pretty much, yeah. We had a great 2 previews, and that was lovely. And then from then on, it's just been the dreaded Fringe flu, being in the tight, cramped, horrible spaces with, you know, loads of people and not very nice walls and mold and damp everywhere. You know, the great Fringe stuff. But on top of that, it's just us. The show is so much harder for both of us in terms of a sing, and we I think it just means that just much, much more quickly we got run down, and we've just been, we've not had any fun. We've not, you know, no one will have seen us in any bars really, or the few times you will have been in a corner with a scarf wrapped around our necks, not, you know, just having water and not drinking. So it's actually been a really staid and boring festival for us, just purely because all we've been able to do is just focus on getting on stage for an hour each night. So I have to say, it's not actually been hugely fun, apart from that hour on, which, because the show's been going really well, so it's been great.
But it must be the horror if you come up to the Fringe and go, what if something goes wrong? And it just because it's like, we've been putting back this interview because your throats aren't being in perfect condition. Saying, that's all right, we'll just leave it a bit. We push out a little bit more. We're now in the very last show of the run, pretty much.
Yeah, it's like now.
Anything you say now, you don't have another show. You can't promote it. Admittedly, then you can't cock up the audience coming in not to see it as well after a bad interview.
Yeah, exactly. So I could say, can I swear? I mean, you know, I can do anything, can't I? Yeah, exactly. It's, I mean, this is the last moment we could do this podcast, because we're heading home on Monday after the whole month, and we're just both pushing to the end. I mean, as long as we can get through all the shows and not have disappointed anyone, because last year we had to cancel 3 shows. Don't know if you remember that. It was, I mean, in our world it was huge news. I'm sure to most of the Fringe they didn't even know about it, but anyone who had bought tickets for the 3 shows at the beginning of our last week last year would not have been able to come see it, because we had to cancel them because Laura actually had swine flu, and was obviously, because that's a hugely horrendous health scare at that time, it was very much she had to be quarantined for a week. So I'm just glad that, as yet, touch wood, we haven't had to cancel a show, no matter how terribly we felt before going on.
It's very much your artistic integrity. You're sacrificing what the Fringe is meant to be, which is 23 hours of drinking and, oh, I gotta do a show. And you're doing it completely the opposite way. You're going, oh no, the show must go on, darling, the show. No, don't bother firing it or telling people it's on or advertising it or trying to get our names in front of agents. Let's just do the show, god damn it.
It's true. I'm so embarrassed about how boring we are, but yeah, it's that stage of, like, we were just thinking, you know, this is, like you said, difficult second album. That's what we've been called. That was actually the working title of the show, and part of us actually wanted to call it that, just to kind of dispense with any pretense that we didn't realize that.
But there's no joke in that.
Well, to be honest, yeah, I'm sure enough people have done that before anyway. But we always call it our difficult second album. And while we were writing it, we didn't have any sort of. We were very aware that it was going to be hard to convince people that it wasn't just, oh, last year was a nice flash in the pan, but actually there's no legs in this. So it has all been about the show, and I can't really say it hasn't been fun, even though we haven't been having fun for ourselves, drinking, partying, going out, seeing people, because every audience there's been, like, good pockets of people who have not seen us before, who've really have really loved it, and I think actually that is why we do it. So
The show itself is very I'm still using past tense. The show is very much more focused, and the feeling that I got when I saw it was that you really tightly controlled what you can do as performers to focus in on one narrative strand for an hour, which is an interesting choice given it's a music show. What's the decision to tighten it up, or was the decision to make it more musically consistent? How did you approach fine-tuning the show?
Well, the first major difference, obviously, between the writing of last year and the writing of this year is that last year we didn't write a show. We wrote songs just to gig with, because we were a very new act, and we were just doing 10 minutes here and there on the circuit trying to build up our names. So the songs were always written just as their own self-contained things, and when we decided, right, the next step here is to take a show to a Fringe festival, Edinburgh, obviously the best Fringe festival ever, so take the show there, what's the show going to be, then we had to fit the songs into a show structure. So I always felt like last year was essentially kind of, you know, what's the word, just crowbarring things in, and I did feel certain clunky moments where it was sort of, go with us, yep, it makes sense, and just trying to loosely place the school, but essentially that concept was always just a chance to just showcase our songs, and I think everyone was like, whatever, it's fun, you know. And then this year we approached it from the very beginning, we knew we were writing a show, so we were thinking, what's the show about, what's the theme, because we wanted to push it on anyway and have people think of us as an act who didn't just peddle the same stuff year after year, but actually people who came back with a totally new show that still was within our style and our gimmick and what we have branded ourselves as, but also is something, you know, pushed on a bit. That's where the college years was a useful push on, because it was still the educational theme, but it was, instead of being separate lessons at a school, it was actually a thesis that we made up about
actually looking at pop music.
Yeah, and I mean, part of the thing that we try and make part of our gimmick and the manner in which we do it is that as far as Frisky Manish are concerned, this is very serious, very academic stuff that they're teaching you. And it just happens that the things they're speaking about in this very intellectual way are, in fact, Britney Spears, Bewitched, Coldplay, Blur, you know, things that are broadly mainstream pop music. But to just talk about them like you're doing a university lecture in itself, I suppose, brings up already like a kind of a funny, weird juxtaposition. And just from there to try and push it and make it, like you say, consistent. We wanted it to be a consistent show that everyone felt like, I know what they were doing there, and that was the end theme. And, you know, our end song being Opposites Attract by Paula Abdul, which just sums up the absolute kind of crux of what we were saying, which is that the best things in popular culture are the random marriages you would never have thought to put together, but actually just work brilliantly. So
last year, the critical acclaim, they made the name of the Fringe. This year, you knew we were coming back again. What did you do in the 11 months between the Fringes to sort of build on Edinburgh and improve yourself as performers and try and, you know, build up the business of Frisky and Manish?
Yeah, and we definitely did that. I'm not sure whether we knew we were doing it at the time, because we didn't have much autonomy this year post Edinburgh. I keep saying to people, it really is true, that doing that run last Edinburgh and it being that successful basically booked us up for the year till this is the first time we've actually decided to do a new show, because the last show just basically for 12 months went around the world. And obviously that's an incredibly amazing thing that we could never have guessed we would have been able to do, and it was wonderful. It actually meant we learnt on the job, I think. It got to the point where we realised it's, you know, Edinburgh was such a generous crowd and they were so great. We loved them. They didn't test us. They didn't push us to be the best, didn't push us to have the best show we could have. I think our second Edinburgh, most people seem to have been concluding from it, you know, oh, I think you've really developed your placing of things, you know, placing of a joke and figuring out why a line's funny and how to get everyone to laugh, I guess, is hopefully what we've learned from our tour.
So are you booked out now again, or do you get to have some time off, or are you just going to check into the Priory and fulfil that tiny cliche? I'm ill, I must go in.
Yeah, oh, I wish. No, we're straight onto a three-month UK tour after this. I mean, literally next week. We've got a week off. I'm going to Vienna. Nice, for a long weekend. And then
there's a song in there.
Yeah. You see, it's all pop in my life.
What's the matter, you? Hey, God.
Giving us ideas. I'm going to write this down. But yeah, we're doing a UK tour for 3 months up until Christmas. Then we've got a Christmas show, which is first. Well, we've got a Bloomsbury date in Bloomsbury Theatre, London, which is the final kind of round off of our tour. And then we've got a Christmas show. Hopefully, I probably shouldn't be saying this because it's not guaranteed yet, but last year we did a Christmas show at the Lyric Theatre on Shaftesbury Avenue, so a West End theatre. It was a one-night extravaganza, and it was pretty successful, and the guy who produced it for us has kind of mentioned it again as a possibility, so we're really hoping to do that again. But then after that, we're actually taking 3 months hiatus from Frisky Manish, and for the whole, if we can get away with it, if nothing comes along that's just too good to miss, we're actually going to take January, February and March of 2011 completely off, and we're just not going to do anything until April.
So do you and Laura then take that 3 months off apart from each other as well?
I intend not to speak to her for 3 months.
How diplomatic was that?
And not in any way because I don't want to speak to her, but just because I think obviously we will end up speaking to each other, because actually if people don't, anyone who doesn't know us won't realise, but actually we've been friends a lot longer than we've been doing Frisky and Manish. It's not something that we got together.
Started at university, carried totally through sketch comedy and previous years past to Edinburgh, which is why this difficult second album isn't really the second of
exactly.
The Fringe.
It's the second Frisky and Manish album, but it's not the second Matthew and Laura album. But it's, I mean, so in terms of, you know, Laura and I getting on, it's very lucky when you find a partnership that works, you know, professionally, but also actually you are friends, you do find the same things funny, you do get on, you have that history, that's great. I think it's just purely that because for the last 12 months we've lived together, technically in Sydney we were living in the same apartment, we were, you know, stayed together in Melbourne, you know, because obviously
we did in separate beds like Eric and Ernie.
Yeah. Separate rooms, thank God. Yeah, it wasn't the odd couple, but it was such a kind of odd time where, you know, a lot of things thrown at us, very, you know, we are still very new, obviously quite young, we're not used to it, we're still finding our feet, and it was a lot to go through, and with one other person just all the time. It was there were times, I think, when we both could have done with that sort of, I just need space from you, just purely because I've seen you so many days in a row that actually, even if I saw my own mother for that many days in a row, I'd be like, oh good god, you know. So in those months of break, we're not intending to do anything together necessarily professionally, but I think we'll still see each other, you know. I think we're too close to not see each other for 3 months, but it will just be nice to not have to, and it will be pleasure, and it will be, I'll be watching films with her, and we'll be going out drinking with our friends, and it will just be purely for fun, and we'll remember why we like each other, because we do underneath.
Oh, lovely. So now she's laid up in hospital, traditionally this is the point where we would go, tell us where people can see the show, but they can't. So tell us where people can find out about the tour dates then.
Well, we have our own website, obviously, where the tour dates have just recently been announced because they've all been finalised. Www.friskyandmanish.co.uk. It's the website.
There we go. Matthew, best of health for the week off.
Thank you.
The last thing you'd want is, oh, it's week off, I will just have to stay in bed. Yeah. For illness reasons, not for I've been at the Fringe for a month, I shall now just stay in bed, because they're both valid reasons.
They are valid reasons, and I don't want to be in bed in Vienna. I want to see it, so I'm gonna be good. I know it. I'll get better.
Matthew and Laura, who's not here, thank you to Laura for originally going to do this interview last week, but then falling ill. And then Matthew's better now. He can do it. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much.
Last year at the Perriers, or the You've Got Commons of the Comedy Awards, or whatever.
Edinburgh Comedy Awards, they were.
They were last year. I lose track. But anyway, yeah. Last year, one of the biggest cheers of the night was to the award to my next guest, Peter Buckley Hill. Hello, Peter.
Hello, and hello, Ewan.
And welcome back.
I see you haven't changed the wallpaper.
No, we're in the lovely garden just behind the Cannon's Gate. We spoke, I think, maybe 4 years ago now, and you had a delightful 50 shows on at the Fringe that were free to get back, in your words, the spirit of the Fringe was all about the performance and the entertaining.
Yes, I'm not sure I use the phrase spirit, but certainly yes, the Fringe is about performers, and over the years many people who have other interests in the Fringe have taken control of what happens, and what we rather want to do is to bring that control back to the people who make the Fringe, the performers themselves.
And from then, from the 50 shows, you're now telling me you have something like 230 shows going on this year under your banner?
230, yes, in our programme. We took on an extra two during the Fringe, so 232, 3,513 performances originally scheduled. That's as far as the statistics go. It's 14.6% growth on last year, but numbers don't matter. Spirit, I think, matters, and not only has the number of shows increased in number, it has significantly increased in quality. What we had 4 years ago was by no means bad. What we have now is close to excellent.
And you mean, I'm seeing everybody's free to attend, there's no tickets to the gigs, but I'm seeing queues every day, for example, for the Robin Ince show that's going on at lunchtimes. You've got performers that, I think it's Carrie Quinlan up again this year for you?
Carrie Quinlan is not only up, I've just done a show with her. When I met you, I left her on stage entertaining the people. Carrie Quinlan's, that was in a fill-in show when one of our performers became ill, so we rallied around and did a show between us. Carrie's show is about to start. Of course, that's of no interest to your listeners, but by the time they hear it, Carrie's show will have finished. But she is with us this year, as are people like Tom Bell, Bennett Aaron, Robin Ince, you mentioned, John Otway has joined us, Simon Munnery has done a show
and
with
us. And just in comedy, you're moving into theatre this year as well?
Well, primarily poetry and the spoken word, which has always been an omission on the Fringe. There isn't even a slot for that in the Big Fat Fringe programme, and anybody doing a spoken word show doesn't know where to put it in the Big Fat Fringe programme. But we have a whole venue, 1.5 stages dedicated to poetry and the spoken word, and we're very proud of that. We have a good, actually recognised spoken word artists on that one. We are also doing theatre. That's a slightly slower growth curve because theatre companies need to learn that they can do their things without heavy props, lighting, backdrops, scene changes and so forth and so forth. If any show comes to us with those heavy props, scene changes and backdrops, then clearly we can't accommodate them in the pub venues that we currently work in. increasingly theatre companies will realise you just need a bare play, and that's what we are currently putting on, that's what we shall put on in the future. We also have cabaret, we also have music, we do not currently have dance, because that requires special floors, and we do not currently have children's shows, because all our premises are licensed, and with the new Scottish Licensing Act, of course, it's increasingly difficult to get children into any of our venues. So of all the arts, and eventually we will do all the arts, bottom of the list at the moment is children's entertainment.
But I mean, you take the number, and I'll go through in one statistic. Almost 1 in 10 shows in the Fringe programme this year are from the Free Fringe.
Fine. In 10 years' time, you'll be surprised that almost 1 in 10 shows in the Fringe programme are not from the Free Fringe. What we are doing is the way to go. There is no doubt about that. The public will not pay £15 for a ticket for a one-hour show from someone that they have not heard of. It was stupid to imagine that they would in the first place. There was not a limitless supply of people who were willing to do that. We filled a very, very natural gap. We shall continue to fill a very, very natural gap. And if the Fringe organisation don't like that, the Fringe organisation can lump it.
That's the great thing about the Fringe, of course, it's open access. All you need to do is pay to go into the programme and then carry on. But you do have a certain amount of curation, unlike the Fringe itself, going into the Free Fringe.
Yes, absolutely. The biggest obstacle we must overcome is people's natural reaction that if it's free, it must be rubbish. And therefore, we have to be very, very careful not to put rubbish in order that that equation should be broken in the particular circumstances of the Fringe. We do select our shows. Sometimes we make mistakes, I beg your pardon. Sometimes I make mistakes. I do the selection. The mistakes are entirely mine and nobody else's. But mostly, I don't make mistakes, and I book shows that are of qualities anywhere between decent and excellent.
So it's the Fringe... almost your personal windmill, as you use the Don Quixote figure, just constantly turning to get the Free Fringe up. Why are you still doing it? Why do you have so much personal control and continue to put yourself out every single year doing this, Peter?
I must be mad. Absolutely.
Simple answer. We'll get an ambulance for you.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, sometimes one needs them for the audience as well. But I have got locked into this. It is a sort of, and we don't say crusade nowadays, for that to quite rightly offends people. Crusades were not nice things. I can't think of a nice equivalent of a crusade. All the metaphors you can use from this are based, you know, around religions, and I don't like that. But it's something
let's
that
just call it an equation and let somebody else work it out.
Something that I feel that I have to do. I used to come to the Fringe. I used to do shows. I used to enjoy doing that, and I used to enjoy being with fellow comedians, and that was my August. I now do not enjoy the Fringe because I'm working too hard. I'm shooting the 5% of our show, troubleshooting, not shooting literally, troubleshooting the 5% of our shows where things do go wrong. And as we speak now, at the end of the Fringe, I am in a state of near terminal exhaustion. I don't imagine I shall ever be able to enjoy the Fringe again. I have sacrificed that for the sake of the greater cause, the Free Fringe, that others should enjoy that, and that makes me sound too much like Jesus Christ. Well, I'm still alive.
So how much of a backup do you have in the terms of organisational stuff? I mean, for example, and I don't want to wish this on you, but let's say you broke a leg the week before the Fringe and you couldn't make it up because you were stuck in hospital. Do you have a backup organisation behind you, or is this literally one man pulling everybody along?
Yeah, no, the performers themselves are the backup organisation. The performers themselves are the organisation. Yes, I lead it. If I broke my leg, as you so kindly suggest, falling under a bus is the more normal option, then all these... all the members would need is access to my master control spreadsheet, which they are given anyway, and the shows would carry on almost seamlessly. It just means that they would need to take somewhat more initiative and do the things that I am currently doing. Of course, yes, I am currently 62. In 10 years' time, I shall be 72. I shall probably no longer be performing. The Free Fringe will still be here. The Free Fringe will still be running. The Free Fringe will be bigger than it currently is. And it will still be run by performers themselves for performers themselves in the same way that I currently do it. People join us in 1 year, they like it, and in the second year they take a more active part in the organisation, and it grows all the time.
So how would people get involved now? Let's say there's somebody out there who's perhaps on the open mic circuit and says, well, I want to do an Edinburgh show next year, but I don't want to pay however much I have to pay in percentages of tickets and hires and everything to other venues. How would they get themselves onto the Free Fringe with you?
Yeah, well, if they're currently on the open mic circuit, they might not get on. Obviously, there is an issue of quality control. Firstly, they would start off by emailing me and telling me about the show they propose. If they're currently doing overwhelmingly over mic spots, there is no way I'm going to give them a one-hour, one-man show. Stupid, stupid, stupid. They've got to grow as comedians much before then. But no matter what they proposed, they would email me with it, and I would comment on that, perhaps counsel them appropriately if they were taking on too much, and then most importantly I would see their work, or some other member of my team would see their work. Again, as the team becomes larger and larger, it is less and less me who sees people and more trusted members of the team. And if that person was in New York or Los Angeles, as many of today this year's performers are, I couldn't fund that, but we have members over there who can check things out. Then once that's been approved and agreed, it goes on the list, and in late December, early January, I allocate shows to the venues that we have by that time. And that allocation results in an offer which the performer is then free to accept, reject or negotiate around. And many do negotiate around and thus find a slot to everybody's satisfaction. That takes care of about 60% of applicants. The remaining 40% come in after that deadline and take what's left.
Did you think when you started doing the free shows that you would get to the point where you are now?
Yes. Nobody else did but I did. I saw it right from the outset.
Which means you're completely confident that you get that 90% of the programme is going to be under Free Fringe.
Whether it's 70 or 90%, I don't know, but the majority, certainly yes. This is the way that the Fringe ought always to have been done. This is the way the Fringe will be done in the future. The money venues are shooting themselves in the foot by providing entertainment, which is often not worth the ticket price, even though that's not a negative reflection on those entertainers. I wouldn't pay £15 to see myself, and I doubt anybody else would either. And many of the people who'd have shows in the money venues would admit that of themselves. It's a remarkably high ticket price. We are in a recession, in case anybody hasn't noticed.
And the final question is, you started off with the love of performing yourself, but you were saying earlier that sort of downgraded itself, and you're going to have to step back from that for the Fringe. Does that make part of you unhappy?
I am extremely unhappy that I no longer enjoy the Fringe, except when I myself am performing. I still do my two shows, and I'll do so for as long as my health permits. And when I'm behind that microphone, I am free. And that I enjoy. The rest of it is hard work. I used to enjoy being all the way around the Fringe. I no longer do. But it is worth it.
And it all comes down to that in the end. Free means many things: free of spirit, free of mind, free of cost, but also the Fringe itself.
It does mean free in that broader sense. It also means free to performers, not only free to audience. We make no systematic charges on our performers at all, and any organisation that makes a charge on their performers, even though they offer their shows free to the public, is not free, and I despise them.
I know this is hard for you to organise, and I know that you can be quite brusque with people, but I think that you're a treasure of the Fringe. It is a delight, and thankfully not a right but a privilege, to have you here driving this at the Fringe, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you for your kind remarks. I have very low self-esteem. I feel I don't deserve them, but oddly enough, even with low self-esteem, one can achieve something, and I think I have achieved something here.
I think you've achieved something that will, like everybody would want to do, will carry on and grow, and even the years that you won't be able to make it up in Edinburgh, we'll still have this. So thank you.
Pleasure mine entirely. Bye.
I'm Ian Kendall, and it's bedtime. Good night, children. And whatever you do, don't forget that the monster under your bed is mine.
Heel boy. welcome to the 16th Stage Awards for Acting Excellence. My name is Duszka Radosavljevic, but Duszka will do.
And I'm Nick Ord.
The Stage Awards for Acting Excellence started at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe in 1995. And initially it only had a category of the Best Actor and Best Actress. Best Ensemble was added in 1998 and Best Solo Show in 2006. Six core members of the reviewing team form the panel of judges for the awards, and the nominations are mostly drawn from the theatre section of the Fringe programme, with some notable exceptions from dance, comedy and children's theatre. Jerry Berkowitz, who I'm sure you've met, Tom Dibdin also you will at least meet by the end, Natasha Tripney and Lauren Paxman, Nick Ord and myself have reviewed over 250 productions between us, and after the nominations meeting on the Friday before last, we spent the last week of the festival seeing all the nominated performances.
Well, this incredible festival and the huge amount of shows that are on increasingly every year. It's been pointed out to me by a gentleman called Guy Masterson, who's probably known to not a few of you, and he's pointed out that it's actually more difficult statistically to get a stage award for acting excellence than it is to get an Oscar. You can all go off and do the math. He's done the math. I was trying to struggle with it yesterday, but he's done it for us. So that's good. And therefore, to get a stage nomination is just as good. Because remember, every nominee is, in our eyes, completely a winner. It's been a really difficult year to judge for us. It's been a pleasant job, but it's been challenging. The quality right across the board of the shows that we've seen, the people who have nominated, and our judging process has been, it's been challenging and great fun and very educational for us. The best actor, the best actress, the solo category. Is a category which we've watched people get better and better and better over the years, and that's been particularly a hard one to make fine nominees and a short list of nominees and to make a selection from that. And ensembles, wonderful, and we've seen a lot of really wonderful new and young ensembles who didn't make it onto our list, but who we really want to see in future years, next year, the year after that, and the support that we've also seen amongst the companies for each other, audiences for the performers, the fantastic producers as well, who we've seen who make a performer. After all, it's you who are the front line. You're the ones who've got to go out there every day, and the support that we've seen right across this festival has been wonderful. So, congratulations to you all for that. Thank you.
We will begin the announcements with the six finest actors in Edinburgh this year.
Okay. The nominees in the Best Actor category are Martin McCormick for Decky Does a Bronco. Carl Shields for Penelope. Niall Buggy for Penelope. Scott Kyle for singing I'm No Billy, He's a Tim. Blair Anderson for My Name is Richard. And Rennie Kuprinski for Bear.
And the award goes to someone whose performance made fans of us all. Scott Kyle for singing I'm Not a Billy.
Hi, everybody. Totally shocked and don't have a speech or anything. That wasn't the thing then. I found a play in a library 3 years ago and it changed my life forever. It's transformed my family's life and my friends and my teacher at college who directed the show and my co-star Colin Little, who's been there with me every step of the way. He's a fantastic actor, a fantastic guy. He's made me a better person in life, and this play's changed my life. Acting's changed my life, so thanks very much. Thank you.
The nominees in the Best Actress category are Marianne Oldham for The Girl in the Yellow Dress. For Hot Mess. Natasha Gordon for Speechless. Demi Oyediran for Speechless. Mercy Ojolade for Roadkill. Penny Laden for Lidless.
The award goes to the actress who rose to a particularly challenging task of portraying a complex emotional journey with subtlety and inspiration, and it's Mercy Ojolade for Roadkill. Mercy's performing at this moment, so we've got Cora Bissett here too. Pick it up for her.
Mercy is currently slogging her guts out in that flat, that grimy flat down there. I saw Mercy perform in The Container about 3 years ago, and that was round about the time that I actually had the original girl who this play is based on staying with me, and Mercy haunted me with her performance at that time, and I stalked her like a stocky thing for about 3 years because I just knew she was the right girl for this part, and I'm deeply proud of her, and yeah, I think she proved that she was.
So now the nominees in the Best Solo Performer category are Ansuia Nathan for Long Live the King. Kristen Thompson for I, Claudia. Nalaja's son for No Child. Caroline Horton for You're Not Like the Other Girls, Chrissy. Tristan Gravel for Honest. And Thomas Marcel for Hamlet, The End of a Childhood.
And the award goes to a performance which, in the words of our colleague Jerry, sent us all floating out in a little pink cloud of happiness. Caroline Horton.
Expecting that. Thank you to everyone who's helped make this show. It's the first one I've ever made myself. I'm massively proud of it. And thank you, Claire, who's been there from the beginning, and the directors who aren't here, I don't know, I wish they were here, and to my grandmother about whom it all is, and she's brilliant, and I'm going to do it for her in September. Anyway, I'm going to be quiet. Thank you so much.
The nominees in the Best Ensemble category are Frantic Assembly and National Theatre of Scotland with Brian Lavery for Beautiful Burnout. Pleasance and Plasticine Men for Keepers. Fire Exit in association with the Citizens Theatre for David Leddy's Sub Rosa. Beyond Borders Productions for Do We Look Like Refugees? Catherine Wheels Theatre Company for White. And Little Bulb Theatre for Operation Greenfield.
And the award goes to the ensemble whose performance featured both classical excellence and technical innovation, resulting in a truly transporting experience. Beyond Borders Productions...
We are speechless. That's great. So we would like to thank the director of the show, Alexi Blight, who is not with us right now. We would like to thank Eleonora Wood from Beyond Borders Production, who was really supporting us all this time. We are thankful to Purni Morel from National Theatre Studio. We thank to British Council in Georgia and Rustaveli National Theatre in Georgia. And of course, Sofo, our stage manager, who was supporting us all this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations to all our winners and also to our reviewing team, because I don't know how they do it with the enthusiasm they do. But also to say how lovely it is at these awards, because all of you congratulate each other with such enthusiasm, which is really lovely. I don't think you hear that at the Oscars very much. But congratulations to you all. Please stay for another drink, and hopefully we'll see some of you next year.
It's almost the end of The Fringe, but there's time to just squeeze in one more special guest. All my guests are special, but there's one guest here who's been waiting patiently for a certain something. Welcome back to the podcast, Rachel Sage. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Shabbat Shalom. It's wonderful to see you again.
I think that was nice.
Yeah, I'm wishing you peace and love and
No, you're wishing for something else, aren't you?
You're absolutely right. You are looking very handsome today.
It's not that, though, is it?
No, what is it?
I came in to see the show. What did you shout out into the audience?
Oh, I did ask for a little cocoa chocolat.
You did, yeah. So while you're briefly introducing your album...
Yes, my new album is Delancey Street, which is a fine street on the Lower East Side, near where I just moved to. What have you got there?
I brought you some more Scottish candy.
Oh, it's coconut. Wow, and I said coconut snowball. We have snowballs in the US too, but I bet they're not nearly as good as, how do you pronounce that?
Tunnocks.
Tunnocks.
They're the same guys that did the wafer that you tasted last year.
Tunnocks, is that like Scottish for tuchus?
No, it's a place up in Dundee. Is? I would have to edit today.
You're absolutely right. So, yes, well, we had a 2-week run overall, but we've got one more show, and it's going to be at 10:45 tonight at the C Venue Cabaret.
So you came over last year almost on a whim just to try out the festival and see what it was like.
I was playing airport roulette. I decided, why not take the next flight out to Edinburgh? You know, if it had gone to Iceland, I would have gone there instead.
You'd still be there.
micro fringe, yes.
So this year, was it a conscious decision to come back?
Oh, yes. It was a conscious decision because the throngs of grassroots clamoring for our show was just overwhelming. We had 17 people who said they would kill themselves if we didn't come over and play our show. So I didn't want that on my head, you know. I have enough guilt as it is being raised in my household. So we decided to do this little show called Stop Me If I'm Kvetching, which is all about venting and complaining and letting out all the things that are bothering you in a safe, musical, vibrant environment. So.
And the year itself.
You fit right in. You fit right in.
Oh, bless. What do I have to complain about now at the end of The Fringe? Lack of sleep, that would be a good one.
That's a good one, yes.
The album Delancey Street,
getting a UK release. You're getting traction all around the world now, aren't you?
An official UK release September 13th.
And why did you change the cover from the American release?
You know, I was highly encouraged to change the cover by my team. My team just felt that the other cover was a little bit ungapachka. Do you know what is ungapachka? A little too much going on, a little too much. The scarf and the shoes and the sparkles and the hair up and the glitter. And it was just too much going on. They thought that maybe they would be a little alienated. Who is the real Rachel Sage underneath all of that mishigas?
You switched into character again.
You know, it's just, it's OCD, ADD, I don't know, D, you know. Just work with me.
Now, let's just ask you to introduce one of the songs. Show tonight, 10:45. We're nearing the end of the podcast. So what are we going to close out with?
We're going to close out with my favorite track on the record, Big Star. It's all about being a big, shiny étoile in the vein of the non-Jewish but equally chutzpahdik Miss Lady Gaga.
And there we go. That's your Fringe podcast for today. Thanks so much for Sage. Thank you to everybody at the stage, not only for the awards, but also being co-producers here on the podcast. Thank you, Peter Buckley-Hill. Thank you to Matthew Frisky and Manish there as well. Thank you all for listening. The main Fringe shows are now over for me. There's still a last chance for me to take in a couple bits of theatre and comedy and Tim Fitzsimons Champagne Show this afternoon. I'll be back tomorrow, or possibly Wednesday, depending on how the hangover goes, with the top 10 moments of the Fringe 2010 for myself. So from me, the stage, the podcast network, for now, it's ta-ra.
This is probably going to be one of the most exciting things I ever do.
The Stage Podcast, a fresh look at entertainment.
I can be a surly, grumpy, or even rude. But I don't want that to be, you know, my entire persona.
Because I think Cameron wanted someone that would surprise everyone and come from a different world.
These are very interesting questions, I have to say. You know, these are not the usual last questions that I get asked.
There's still a little bit of snobbery, I think, attached to that. And I'm always going to be Cameron MacDonald.
To hear interviews with some of the biggest names in theatre and television, just search for Stage Podcast in iTunes or in Google.
May I congratulate you on not having just got your question straight off of Wikipedia?